right. Good morning and welcome. So glad you took the time to come and worship the Lord this morning and sit under His Word and hear what He has to say. You have access to His Word anytime you want it, as long as you have a Scripture in front of you. And you know what? Here's your Scripture in front of you all the time. You can access it here anytime you want. So don't be afraid to jump on your phone and get in the Word whenever you have the time. It's a good thing to do. Amen? Amen. Tomorrow is Labor Day. You knew that, right? On June 28, 1894, President Grover Cleveland, you think about him very often? No, not one of the great presidents, but he did do this for us. Grover Cleveland signed a law making the first Monday in September a holiday to honor American workers. Yes, it's for honoring American workers, the laborers of our country. It's a celebration of the benefits brought to us by all who work to make our country great and beneficial to our people. They not only make it beneficial to us, but to people around the world. Our economy affects the world, and we are all aware of that, I think. Through their work, they help bring peace, prosperity, and security to our country. It's through their work that we gain the economy that allows us to have the force, the might, the will to be watchful of what's going on around us and to protect the people of this country. Labor Day celebrates the achievements and contributions, the work of all American workers, bringing strength and prosperity to our nation. That's what they do. That's what you do as American workers. We celebrate this day to show our thankfulness for their work, right? Amen. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful for this country that you've brought forth in your plan. Lord, we don't even understand all that you're doing through this country, but we know you're doing a great work. And Lord, I pray that we'll be ever faithful as a country to you and to your plan of salvation. Lord, that's what it's all about, bringing people into your loving grace of salvation. So Lord, help us to ever keep that in front of our eyes, that we work and do the things we do so we can continue serving you and declaring that Jesus is the Savior and the Lord of this world. Father, we thank you for all the love and mercy you've given to us. Lord, we pray for those that need you this morning. We pray that they'll turn their eyes to you and ask you, number one, for forgiveness if they need that, Lord, and then for help in all that they face in this world. You will walk with us through all the trials and tribulations we will have. You have given your Holy Spirit to those who trust in you, and He walks with us also, guiding us. Lord, help us. Help us to humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit and walk with Him in this world, that we might bring glory to you, to your name, and draw others to you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our faith is focused on only one person and his work. Yes, we're celebrating the workers of America today, but there is one person that did a work far, far greater, the work of salvation for humanity. Yes, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the God-man. Jesus and His work. That's something we celebrate every week. Sometimes, you know, we celebrate it twice a week, sometimes even more. You can celebrate Jesus anytime you like. So do it often. Stay close to the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. We trust who He is and what He has done. Who is He? He is God. Almighty. I know we always think of Him as the Son, right? But the Son has the power of the Father. And so He is also God. So think of Him that way sometimes to keep your awareness of God in the proper perspective. We trust Him and we trust what He's done. He's provided life. Life for each and every one of us by accepting His redemption of our lives on the cross. Now we can walk freely with a free conscience, serving Him and doing His will in this world. Do you know what His will is? For us, it's sharing the name of Jesus, sharing the saving grace that He's provided through His work on the cross. To trust in Jesus means to believe in Him for salvation. To believe in Him. And what is salvation? It's the washing away of your sins by what Jesus did on the cross. His shed blood, His battered body were given for us so that we could be made one with Him. So when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become one with Him. And even though He's in heaven, He has sent God the Holy Spirit to be with you and in you in this life so that He empowers you to live a life pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Lead us, guide us to live a life that pleases God. Oh, I know we think about that we want to we want to please God, so it's something we do. But it's really for Him. So you have to go a little bit beyond and out of yourself, right? And think about the Lord. So we believe in Him for that salvation. And as I said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. I was reminded again in the Bible study before church, and that Bible study starts at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, right over in that other building. And we talk about the Scripture and we talk about the Lord. And this morning it came out once again, and I like to remind people of this always. It's not only believers that live forever. Every person born in this world has eternal life.
That's right.
But the question is, where will they spend eternity? Because there's two places. There's a place of paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that place heaven. But there's also a place of torture. A place where people who deny Christ go for the punishment they deserve of not embracing what He's done for them, the salvation He's provided. That's where people that don't accept Jesus as Christ, that's where they end up. And it is eternal. We believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. He is God in the flesh, and that He died taking away our sins. And that's proven by the fact that He was raised again to life 3 days later. It would have done no good for Him to die and stay dead. How is that going to build faith? It's not. But He rose again from the dead, and that told us He was who He said He was, God come to take away our sins. And He did what He said He would do. He accomplished that mission, and God raised Him from the dead to say, yes, it's done. So praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Now, we haven't seen Him with our eyes, have we? But we've seen Him with our heart and our mind, our faith. And we can see Him. He's there in the Scripture. Open it. Read it. You'll see Him there. You can even fellowship with Him there. So don't be afraid to open the Scripture. Salvation cannot be separated from the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's a weekend that we're talking about work. We're talking about Labor Day and how people that work get a day off. Most of them anyway. Some don't. But the work of Christ was effectual for every human being. Every human being. Now, you know what? People always say, well, if it's for every human being, how are they going to know? Everybody's got to hear it if they're going to know. Well, partly that's our mission, isn't it? We're to go and tell. And that's on us. But do you think God won't accomplish the mission if we don't go and tell? He will. He'll accomplish it. How do I know that? Because God is a God of His Word. And if He says, you must have my son to be saved, He's going to make sure every person born into the world is going to know about Jesus and know about what He did and know about the fact that they need Him to have eternal life with Him. Amen?
Amen.
God is able. God is able. Don't ever forget that. God is able. Trusting in the work of Jesus Christ means we trust in the work He has done to save us. He went to the cross for that fact, to save us. Gave His body, shed His blood, so we could have salvation. And we have it now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. No, we have it now. We just need to be aware of that and live like it and follow Him. The things He did, well, what does that mean, follow Him? It means show the love and the kindness that He showed so that you can have a good relationship with everybody. Even the people that hate you, don't hate them back. Show them the love of God. Jesus said it's like heaping hot coals on their head. But you know what? Those are coals that remind them that they need to love the Lord and live for Him and do what He says. Follow His commandments. Or they're going to end up in a place of hot coals. So Lord, I'm thankful that You're reminding them. Salvation cannot be separated from Him and what He did for us. The work of Jesus Christ means we trust in the work He has done to save us. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Do you know what? Do you understand what the work of a mediator is? You hear that sometimes when unions are on strike and they say, oh, we need to get a person of mediation in here. A mediator brings two parties that are in opposition together so they can work out their differences and live in peace. Jesus is our mediator with God. We were separated from God by our sin. We needed a Savior. Jesus came. That's part of God's plan. It was always part of God's plan. It'll always be God's plan until it's all finished. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. We needed a mediator, and God sent Him, Jesus Christ. He did the work. He did the work. That's why I'm talking about this. It's a weekend talking about work. It's the work of Christ, though, that we need to focus on. Because His work is eternal. It has eternal effects on everyone that is born. Amen?
Amen?
Apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ, salvation is not available. Yes, I said that correctly. Apart from Jesus, there is no salvation. You cannot be at peace with God Almighty outside of the work of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Those are the words of Jesus Himself, who gave Himself for our salvation. Without the perfectly sinless God-man, Jesus Christ, no work would have accomplished anything toward our redemption. The only thing we can do to redeem ourselves is to humble ourselves to Jesus Christ and call on Him to save us. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That's what God says in His Word. You don't have to worry about will it happen or is it true. No, once you call on the Lord, you sincerely call on Him, He's going to give you the peace in your heart, in your mind, to know that it's true. How do I know that? Because when you call on the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and mind. He lives there and encourages you and gives you the comfort and the peace to know, yes, you are saved. Don't doubt it. Live in it. Love it. Be at peace in it. Because it's true. Amen? Amen. Scripture says in Ephesians 2:1, "And you, He, Jesus Christ, made alive." Did you know that people without Christ are walking dead people? Oh, they look alive. They act like they're alive. They eat, they drink, they work, they do everything a live person would do. But if they don't accept Jesus Christ, that life is going to end up in a place of death, eternal death, a place we call hell. But it's for people that deny Christ. The people that say, "Oh, don't bother me with that. I got things to do. I'll think about that later." Sometimes later never comes till it's too late. So don't be one of those people. Call on the name of the Lord. He makes us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That was us before Jesus, in which we once walked according to the course of this world. That came up this morning in Bible study too. The world affects us. The world comes in on us. We can't escape it. You go home, you lock the doors, you pull down the shades, you can't escape it. You turn on the radio or the TV, there's the world talking to you, saying, "Hey, you need this, you need that. You don't have it all. You can't be at peace because you don't have this." Don't believe it. The world can never satisfy the need for your peace. This world's passing away. But the world of Jesus Christ will never pass away. You'll be with Him forever. In glory, in a glorious place. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So apart from Him, salvation is not available. He makes us alive through His death. He died so we can live. Isn't He a wonderful Savior? He suffered the cross for our benefit. He also suffered the cross to bring glory to God. That was the plan. I will give myself to bring glory to God. That's why He was obedient. For us, for God. That's why He died. That's why He passed away. Earthly work. Without His earthly work, we would be dead in our sins. Only He can save us. Only His battered body and shed blood can save us. Without that, we're not going to have salvation. We would never have access to His personal salvation unless He came and gave Himself for us. He provided that for us. No other work could have secured our salvation like the saving work of Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior besides Him.
Amen.
You look down through history, you look down through religion, and who else do you find that came and gave themselves, claiming to be God, but gave themselves for us? Died for us. But then came back to life. Hundreds of people saw Him, talked with Him, ate dinner with Him. Not just His 12 disciples. Hundreds of people experienced Him after He came back to life. The evidence is there. No other God, no other person claiming to be God has been able to duplicate what Jesus Christ did. That's because He really is God.
Amen.
He is God. Amen. This is the work God sent Jesus to accomplish for God's creation. He redeemed creation with His death. Praise God. But he also redeemed humanity. That was the focus of that redemption. Hey, he could create a whole new world. He could create a race of people like robots that trusted him, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted a created person that would choose him, choose to follow him, choose to love him. And through Jesus Christ, we're able to do that. By ourselves, no, it won't happen. But through Jesus, it can happen. It will happen if you allow it. You have a choice. Everybody has a choice.
Right.
Be saved by Jesus and his work, or pass on it and take the outcome that God has prescribed for that. Jesus has accomplished the salvation, the saving work prescribed by God for each and every one of us. Of the final words of Christ on the cross, none is more important or moving and effective than these words. It is finished. It's finished. The redemption of humanity is finished. The only thing that separates people from God is their choice, their heart. Will they believe or will they not believe? And so that's our job. We get involved here. See, we have the commission to go and tell. Tell what? The good news that Jesus has provided eternal salvation for you. That it is finished is found only in the Gospel of John. The Greek word translated "it is finished" is tetelestai. That's what Jesus cried out. Tetelestai! It's finished. Redemption is here. I provided it through the work of God. It's finished. It's an accounting term that means paid in full. Our sin debt has been paid in full. All we have to do is say, I'd like to have it, Jesus. Save me.
Hallelujah.
And all your sins are written off, never to be brought up again. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God. When Jesus uttered those words, he was declaring that the sin debt owed to God by any human person, any human person could be accounted as paid in full by declaring, save me, Jesus. Or any variation you want to come out with. You don't have to say exactly, save me, Jesus. Just call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. You will be saved.
Amen.
Yes. In Philippians 2, 12 and 13, Paul writes this, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. God works in you to will and to act according to His purpose. What's God's purpose for you? To be redeemed and be with Him in glory. And in the meantime, to honor Him by serving Him. Humble yourself to serve Him and do those things He's calling you to do. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does this mean? The Greek word translated fear in this context can equally mean reverence or respect. Work out your fear with reverence and respect. Your salvation. Work it out with reverence or respect. Paul uses the same phrase in 1 Corinthians 2, 3 and 4. He says this, I was with you in weakness. He's speaking about himself as he went into Corinth, the city back then. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God, and of power. Paul came to the Corinthian church in weakness. He had just gone through several other cities in that area, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens. And in those cities, he suffered. He suffered punishment, imprisonment, and belittlement for the name of God. Because he spoke the name of God, he was punished. He came in fear and with much trembling, mindful of the awesome nature of the work which he was given by the Lord. What is that awesome work he was given? Go tell the people about me, Jesus. Go tell them of my salvation. Tell them of what I've done for them. Tell them that there is salvation, that there is hope way beyond what you can see in this world. That's what we need to see. What would this life be without the hope of Christ? What would you look forward to at death? And a grave. That would be it. Paul's work wasn't the saving of people. Paul's work was the deliverance of the gospel of Christ. We can't save anyone, but Jesus can save everyone who hears the gospel if they'll choose Him. That's why we go and tell. That's why we go and witness. To give them the opportunity to ask Jesus to be their Savior. The Apostle Paul didn't fear the mental and physical rejection of non-believers, nor the hardships of the ministry. No, he didn't mind those. He feared not completing his mission. That was his fear. I won't get the job done. I need to press on, so I can glorify my Lord. He feared not completing his mission to testify to the gospel of Christ, the saving knowledge of Jesus. Before he was called home, he wanted to finish the mission. The sense in which we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, that's what we're talking about here. Our work to be done in fear and trembling is twofold. First, the Greek verb rendered work out means to continually work to bring something to completion or fruition. You can bring a work to fruition, but it doesn't end. It continues on. You go on to another post. You go on to another place to share the good news again. But the work that you left behind, it continues to bear fruit. Because knowing Jesus, having the Holy Spirit, working through His power, will continue to bear fruit. And that's what we're called to do. We want to continually work to bring the fruition of the good news of Christ to the hearts of everyone. Men, women, boys, girls. Bring it to everyone. We do this by actively pursuing obedience in the process of sanctification and evangelization, I should say. Yeah, I'm throwing out some churchy words now, okay? So what is sanctification? Do you understand it? Sanctification. It's being set apart from the group, the whole group set apart for a work. That's what the Lord is calling us out. We're sanctified. We're called out from the group of the world to be God's servants, to share the gospel. That's our calling. It's not just to be saved. Then you can go around and tell everybody, hey, I'm saved. I don't worry about eternity. I'm saved. No, it's more than that. It's helping others to realize they have a need and that they need to be saved as well. Paul describes himself as straining and pressing on because he realized and understood that his work was never finished. It wouldn't be finished until he was called home to be with the Lord. And he worked up to the very moment giving the good news, even to the people who hated him and had him imprisoned. He witnessed to the prison guards, and he prayed with them and prayed for them. He wanted them to be saved as well. He was pressing on toward the goal of Christ-likeness in Philippians 3. The trembling he experiences is the attitude Christians are to have in pursuing these goals. We should live our life in fear, not fear of retribution or punishment, but fear of we're not getting the job done. We need to do more to get the Word of God out there, the gospel of Jesus. We need to reach those goals. A healthy fear of offending God through disobedience, of not pursuing Christ-likeness, and failing to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. That's a hard question to ask yourself. Have I been obedient? Have I been getting the word out there? Does my life reflect that I'm different? I'm sanctified? I'm set apart? I'm working for the Lord for the benefit of others? That's what our sacrifice should be. Working for the Lord for the benefit of others. Giving ourselves, giving our life for the Lord. Believers need to be weak. Weak in their dependence on themselves. It's not through our power that we're going to get the job done. You understand that, don't you? You must walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is where your power is right now. You accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came in. He came in for a reason, to empower you to do the work that Jesus calls us to. Our strength comes from humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves, putting our wants and desires aside so that we can let the Lord's wants and desires fill our heart. That's the only way you're going to fulfill the mission. Humble yourselves to the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to complete our mission for the Lord. Obedience and submission to God, we revere and serve, is our reasonable service. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about, and it brings great joy. All of those things. Psalm 2:11 sums it up perfectly. It says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord in respect to Him and knowing there's a job to do. And we must press on. We must do it. And then we can rejoice. Rejoice with Him. We work out our salvation by going to the very source of our salvation. Well, where's the very source? It's right here. It's God's Word given to us by the Holy Spirit. He wrote it for us so that we can have it right there. We have the whole story. We have everything we need to know right there. That's why we have to open it. That's why we have to read it. Try to remember it. All those things. Amen. We renew the giving of our hearts and minds to the Lord through His Word. You know, most people don't realize it, but when you accept the Lord as your Savior, you're giving your life to Him. Oh, He still saves you, even though you don't understand the full ramification of what's happening. But that's why we read the Bible and study. We learn. And then we're able to know the mission and do it correctly. In fear and trembling, getting strength from the Holy Spirit. That's where our strength comes from. So we renew our hearts and mind to the Lord through His Word. And it defines, in Romans 12, 1, it defines our humble giving of ourself. Well, you probably didn't know this when you got saved. But it says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're dying to self and you're living for Christ. You're presenting yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. How does that happen? Christ comes into your life. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. He makes you holy and acceptable unto God. We can't do that. We have sin. We're not holy. We're not acceptable. But He makes us that way. So what? So we can do what? So we can render a reasonable service to God. What is that reasonable service?
Go and tell.
Go and tell. That's it. Go and tell. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you're out in Walmart looking down, trying to find something. You come across a person, they're trying to find something too. And so you help them find it. And then you say, oh, I see you were looking for something. We found it. Have you found Christ yet?
Good.
Just bring Him into the conversation. You'll get a reaction. The reaction I got was, don't bother me about that. Yeah. That's what the person said. That's right. I can go away thinking, I tried. I don't know what they went away thinking. But one day maybe they'll think, I should have listened to that guy. Because the Holy Spirit isn't going to stop working. He's working on everybody out there. He wants them to be saved. And we want them to be saved because we have the Holy Spirit in us. He motivates us to that. And so we can serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's the whole point. I was rejected, but I wasn't rejected. He was rejected. The Lord was rejected. I don't have to carry that burden. The believer's reasonable work. Here it is. This is what you're expected to do. This is your reasonable work. Are you ready? Humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. Humble myself to the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means be aware of the Holy Spirit. Be in tune with the Holy Spirit because you've been in God's Word. And you're sensitive to when He nudges your mind to say, you need to tell this person about Jesus. And your first reaction is going to be, how am I going to do that? I'm in a store doing something. We're shopping. How am I going to bring Jesus up into this conversation? Don't worry. He'll give you the way. He'll give you the way. You just have to be willing to do it. That's being humble. Humble yourself. Oh, I don't want to do it. I might get rejected. Yeah, you might. But you humble yourself and do it anyway. Because that's what the Lord wants you to do. Oh, I don't want to go to the cross. It might hurt. I might die. He went. He did hurt. He did die. But 3 days later, He rose again. So what's God going to do in your life when you humble yourself? You won't know until you do it. You won't know until you do that reasonable work. Humble yourself to the Holy Spirit, and what will He do? He'll give you His power. He'll give you His power to fulfill the mission that you've been given. Humble yourself. Get the power. Ought to make that a phrase. Humble yourself. Get the power. Oh, we're too t-shirt oriented. And then this, what does good works result from salvation mean? Good works result from salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves. You can't save yourself, only Jesus can. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Good works result from salvation. But it's not works that we would boast of. It would be works we would boast about Him doing through us. Those verses make it clear that we are not saved by our good works. We can't do it. We can be saved only because God is gracious and merciful. Only through His grace and mercy. And His has designed a way for us to be declared righteous. We don't earn righteousness. We can't. But He can declare us righteous. That's His privilege as being the authority over all creation. And how do we earn that privilege? By asking Jesus Christ to save us. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I need You, Jesus. Save me, please. Holy Spirit comes in. And you're empowered.
Amen.
You're empowered to do what God wants you to do. So you have to humble yourself to do it. You just gave the Lord God Almighty your life. But He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you can do what you need to do. We don't do it by ourselves. We can only be saved through Jesus Christ. For You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. That's our Lord and Savior. He's ready to forgive. And abundant in mercy to all those who call upon His name. He's ready. He's ready. He's just waiting for you to do it. And the Holy Spirit is working on hearts and minds, preparing them to do it. To do what? To call on Jesus. That's what has to be done. That's your choice. Only you can make it. Make it. Do it. When Jesus became sin for us, we inherited His righteousness. He took away our sin. He gave us His righteousness. But we mostly don't know that when we get saved. That's why we have to read the Bible. That's why we have to go to church to find out what He can do for us if we'll give our life to Him. He became sin for us. We became His righteousness. Salvation is a divine exchange of our tattered rags of self-effort for the glorious perfection of Jesus Christ. He gives us His perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." He is our righteousness. Outside of Him, we don't have it. We can't do good works unless we are walking in Christ. That means walking in the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do. Scripture says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You're not going to produce good fruit without Jesus. You're not going to produce good fruit without walking in the Holy Spirit. So although we cannot be saved by our good works, when we are saved, we can produce good works. Why? Because we have God working through us, through the Holy Spirit. Is there any limit to that?
No.
There's one. There's one limit. You see it every morning when you look in the mirror. You are the limit. When you break that chain of not following the Holy Spirit and begin following Him and doing those things He's guiding you to do, then you'll start seeing the fruit. You'll start seeing it. Just as a child will grow, so a believer will grow after their new birth. That's what being saved is. It's what how it's described. It's a new birth. You're born again, right? And just like a child grows and has to learn, so also a believer will grow after their new birth. We grow at different rates and in different ways. At different rates because we don't unleash our faith. We don't fully unleash our faith. That holds us back from growth. And in different ways because of our circumstances. You can't determine what kind of life you're going to be, what kind of family you're going to be born in. You're just put into the world and then you have to deal with it. The best way to deal with it is what? Call on the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Then you'll have the power to deal with it. You'll have Him to help you deal with it. We grow at different rates and in different ways, but life results in growth, doesn't it? We all grew up, didn't we? Yes, we did. There is something very wrong if a child doesn't grow. If a child never grows, there's something wrong. Everyone expects to see growth in a child, do we not? Shouldn't we expect to see growth in us as born-again believers? We should. And we should be humbling ourselves to the Holy Spirit to facilitate that growth. Only we can hold it back. In this way, after salvation, believers grow and we begin to look and act more and more like our Savior. We begin showing the kindness, the goodness, the forgiveness, the fruits of the Spirit. This is only possible as we abide in Christ. What does that mean, abide in Christ? It means walking in the Spirit. Christ did His work. He's gone back to glory. No, He's not completely out of the picture. He still has things to do. But the Holy Spirit is now here on earth. He's the one that we're depending on, going to, calling on for help. Walk in the Spirit, allowing Him to reproduce His character in us. The Holy Spirit is God. He has all the characteristics of God. Do you want some of those characteristics? Then walk in the Spirit. Give your faith to God and walk in the Spirit and allow Him to reproduce His character in you. Not our work, but His work in us and through us. We're just a conduit. Yeah, I mean, you get right down to it. We're a conduit. We're a conduit for His love and kindness, all the fruits of the Spirit. We should be showing that. We should be gushing that out wherever we go. Be that fire hose of the fruits of the Spirit. Let it gush out. Good works do not produce salvation. Your good works will never save you. Good works, though, are the product of salvation. Get saved. Then you'll have the power, the holy unction to do those good works. Jesus said to his followers, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." They're not going to see any good works unless you're born again, walking in the Spirit, humbling yourself to God, and following Him. How do you know what to do? Here's the manual. Tells you what to do. Got to open it and read it, first of all. Matthew 5:16, that's where I just quoted. The bottom line is, for believers, walk in the Spirit. It's your choice. It's your decision. You can make that decision right now. We're going to give you time to do it. Brother Ryan's going to come up. He's going to start playing softly, and you're going to be thinking about, what can I do? What can I do as a servant of God to start bearing fruit? Bearing fruit. I know we're limited. I know we're all getting up there in years. We have the aches and pains and limitations of senior citizenship. Fortunately, some aren't in that spot yet. But you can still be bearing fruit. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Can bear fruit. But you have to be willing to do it. You have to yield yourself, humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm asking you to do. That's what the Lord is asking you to do. Humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Say, "Lord, I want to bear fruit. I want to follow the Holy Spirit and bear fruit. Help me. Give me that mindset. Give me that desire in my heart." We have not because we ask not. Ask Him. Ask Him. He'll start working in you. You'll be able to do it.